Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Memhei in Maseches Nedarim, is the 1078th daf in Shas. Our daf is actually one of the shortest dafim in Shas. We're going to be wrapping up Perek Ein Bein Hamoder, and we're going to continue with the conclusion of some very important halachos in regards to Hefker. That is going to be Memhei Amid Aleph, and we are going to begin Perek Hashutfin. We're going to discuss the halachos of Hefker on Amid Aleph, and we are going to introduce Perek Hashutfin, which is going to be a perek that deals with A, the halachos of Shutfin, and B, the halachos of Shutfin that make a neder, where they prohibit hana from each other, and the way in which one navigates that very sticky situation. Let's Be'ezer Hashem pick up on the top of Mem Hei Amid Aleph, where the Gemara is continuing to discuss the machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan that we had on the Mishnah in Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan had disagreed about the nature of hefker. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that when a person makes his possessions hefker, so then when it's done in appropriate fashion, as our daf is actually going to give us some of the details of what that means of appropriate fashion. But let's say he does it, he makes the proclamation in the appropriate way, he says that the items are hefker. The opinion of the Rabbanan is, the Rabbanan are, that the items now belong to nobody. And therefore, when Reuven is mafker his items, Shimon could come along and be zoche it from this state of hefker, ownerless, and it becomes his. Rabbi Yosi disagrees. Rabbi Yosi understands that hefker is not a separate and distinct status by itself. It's not like there are three reshuyos, Reuven, Shimon, and then a third called hefker. Rather, the way in which Reuven makes his items free, he frees them up for Shimon to be able to be zoche in them, is he declares that it is hefker, which means that if Shimon comes along and is zoche in them, then they belong to Shimon. What's a nafkamina? In yesterday's daf, we discussed in intricate detail the nafkamina of what if in the interim, the fruits, let's say the person is making his fruits hefker, after Reuven makes his fruits hefker, is it still chayiv in trumas and maestros? The halachi is that fruits that are ownerless, don't belong to anybody, they're potter from trumas and maestros. So therefore, I'm learning this with you from at my apartment in Ramat Beit Shemesh with the sun streaming in a pretty hot Beit Shemesh day, and in the background there are trees that are outside of our rishus. If those trees were fruit-bearing trees, so then in such a case, that those are items that are hefker, and they're not chayiv in trumas and maestros. That is a Mishnah Mifureshes in Zeroy. The Shaila now is, what happens if Reuven declares, let's now talk about within my own property. If I declare that the tree in my property is hefker, and Shimon could come and be zoche in it, what happens in the interim before Shimon is zoche in it? According to the Rabbanan, it's hefker and potter from Trumas and Maestros. According to Rabbi Yosi, it'll still be chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. The Gemara yesterday had asked Akasha on the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. And we asked from a sugya in Chulin and Temura on Davov Amid Aleph. It seems to me that that is a brisa. And there we learned that if someone, like I described, that I'd make my tree hefker, there the Gemara quotes a Memdalet Amid Beis, someone who makes his vineyard hefker. If someone makes his vineyard hefker, the halacha is that he's potter from Meiser. Question! According to Rabbi Yosi, the halacha should be that he should be chayim in Meiser until Shimon comes along and is zoche in it, it still belongs to Reuven, because hefker, according to Rabbi Yosi, is not an independent entity. That's where our Gemara is up to, farenfering, answering the position of Rabbi Yosi. Says the Gemara on the top line, the first word, Amem Hei Amid Aleph. Ibai Seima, Hod Afkere Ba'anfin Trin, V'Hod Afkere Be'Ape Tlos. Whoa! The Gemara now says that our understanding that we had on the third day, Yom Shlishi, that was yesterday, of Parshas Pinchas, Tavshin Ayin Hey, is not correct. Rather, Yom Revi'i of Parshas Pinchas, Tavshin Ayin Hey, we're going to redefine Shitas Rabbi Yosi. We had always thought that Rabbi Yosi denies this whole concept of Hefker being a separate entity. Says the Gemara, no. Reb Yossi was denying it in the Mishnah, on Mem Gimel and Aleph, in a very particular context. Ibai Yaseima, if you want, says the Gemara, I could give another teretz. Had afgre ba'amkin tri, v'had afgre ba'ape tlasa. It depends where the hefker is taking place. Is it taking place in front of two people or in front of three? The Amr Rabbi Yechim Mishum Rabbi Shim Ben Yoyt Sadok. Kol Amafkir Bifnei Shleisha Have Hefker Bifnei Shnayim Loi Have Hefker. The only time that the act of making something ownerless is considered significant to the point that it's going to exit Reuven's Rishus and go into the state of belonging to nobody, like the tree that is growing in a no man's land behind our home. The only way you could do that, you could do it according to Rabbi Yossi, but the only way you could do it is if you're mafkir in front of three. So hence, the case that we had from Chulin, Kuflam Medalar Mabez, and Tmura Dav Vav, which was quoted on the Gemara Mem Dalet on the Beis, is a case in where you're being mafgir in front of three. Then it's halachically significant, even according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says in the Dar Mem Gimel Amid Aleph in the Mishnah that hefgir does not work in a case of where Reuven says that he's being madir Shimon from his belongings. He's making his belongings usher to Shimon. Reuven cannot simply be mafkirit, and then it'll become ownerless, and Shimon will take it from him. Because Rabbi Yossi seems to say there's no concept of making something entirely ownerless. That's because the hefker wasn't done appropriately. The hefker was done in front of two instead of in front of three. And that is why the Ran adds, we learned that Rabbi Yossi says that you're able to back out when you make something hefker. The Ran explains that we had seen that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that until Shimon is Zoche in it, Reuven could always back out because there isn't a separate entity called ownerless. That is talking about a case of where it wasn't the full hefker, it is done in front of two. Explains the Ran, let's do this part inside, about eight or nine lines before the wide, on Memhei Amud Aleph. First where a line is nafik v'taime, and the rationale to differentiate between two or three, mishum de'eni ma'am acher, inami deleka ba'dei ela trei, if you only have two people there, adaita dechan mehanach b'dechud afgerei. His intention is only to make it hefker in front of these people. Because if there's two people, there isn't enough of a noise that the whole world will know that it's ownerless. So the chisaron of two is that he's stipulating that he's willing to give it up, but not to the whole world. So therefore, how is he giving it up? It's as if he's saying, I'm willing to give it away as a matana. Just like when it comes to a matana, then it's being done with the das of Reuven to give to Shimon. So here, Reuven's intending to give it to the two people in front of him. So then that's a matana. That's not hefker. If it's three, then he's spreading it to the entire world. I know my friend Reuven, I know my friend Shimon, but I don't know the entire world. And therefore, if I'm doing it in front of three and the whole world's going to know about it, then it's not a matana, then it's a real hefker. So now, we have revolutionized our understanding of Rabbi Yossi. This whole idea that there's no such thing as a full-fledged hefker, that there isn't an entity called ownerless, and the way in which someone is mafkir is actually giving a matana that we thought was Rabbi Yossi's shita through and through, is not correct. It's only Rabbi Yossi's shita when you're mafkir b'fnei shnayim and not b'fnei shlosha. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, the Gemara quotes a dissenting view. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is of the opinion, Dvartei rafilu b'echad avi hefker. Really, min ha-Torah, even in front of one is hefker. In contrast to Rabbi Yossi, who says that you need three. Everybody agrees that there was a tradition that said that you need to be mafkir in front of three. That's a separate halacha, and that is something that enhances the process of hefker. If you're doing it in front of three, so then you've solved things for Shimon. For example, let's say Reuven is being mafkir in front of Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. So then Shimon, who wants to be Zoche and Reuven's hefker, now has a legal recourse of proof of ownership. Reuven was mafkirit. Then Shimon takes it in front of Levi and Yehuda. That's what the Gemara describes over here in the last line of our perek, Kedeshe Eichet Zeche Ushnayim Me'idin. Shimon's going to be zochin it from Ruvain, and then the Eitzah Tova. The suggestion is that he has Levi and Yehuda watching, and now he has two Edim that it belongs to him. Hadron Alach Ein Ben Amoider, Baruch Hashem, we've been zeicha to finish the fourth perek in Maseches Nedarim. Let's Be'ezer Hashem introduce Perek HaShutfin. Perek HaShutfin deals with the halachos of two partners who own a piece of land that made a neder with each other, that each one was not going to derive benefit from the other. That will catapult the Mishnayis to discuss halachos in general of one person who's moder haname chavero from particular items. For example, Menvav and Aleph, the Mishnah will discuss if he's moder hanah from his friend, and there's a merchatz and a beis habad, and how do you look at shared ownership in a bathhouse, and ultimately the Gemara then will discuss many other halachos of nadarim that are made between one friend and the next, and in that way Perek HaShutfin is really a continuation of the previous perek. The opening lines, as you can see, there is a tremendous amount of ran on the opening lines of the Mishnah on Mem Hei Amud Beis. The opening lines of the Mishnah deal with two shutvim that make a neder not to derive benefit from each other's rushus. And then the Mishnah tells us the machlokis between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Tanakama, and the many myriad of variables that emerge from that machlokis, the Rishonim will speak out. First, let's Be'ezer Hashem see the Mishnah, and then we'll summarize some of the basic issues, emphasis on some, that the Ran discusses. Zok Tehele Gemishnah, Shutvin Shenadu Hanoz Zemizef. You have partners that made a neder, that each one of them is not going to derive benefit from each other. Asurin Likanes Lechatze. The Tanakama says, that's it, you're stuck. Each one of them owns this chotzer, owns the courtyard. Each one of them said that they're not going to have hana from the other one. So then you're stuck. You can't go into the chotzer. Because even though you, Ruvain, partially own it, you have 50% ownership, you made a nether, you're not going to have hana from Shimon, and Shimon owns 50%. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aymer, Zen Nichnas L'Soich Shaloi, V'Zen Nichnas L'Soich Shaloi. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov suggests the following solution, and that is that each one of them could go into the side of 50% that they own. Now, what is the crux of this machlokis? The crux of this machlokis is actually not a machlokis in regards to neder. Take a look at the Ran, three lines into the wide, where the Ran quotes from the Gemara in Bava Kama Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and this makes our daf, like in a few places in Shas, one of the shortest dapim. We had this in Erevin as well, a very short daf for the same reason. Just like the Ran begins to get into a long achrichus over here, we had Tosos and Erevin that got into a long achrichus, because Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and the Tanakama are arguing about a shasugya, the shasugya of Breira. Says the Ran, Ubeperek shar shenagach es hapara. He doesn't quote from Erevin when we had it, but it appears also in Erevin. Ukumna pluksayu b'yesh Breira o'ein Breira. The machlokis is whether you consider the item as chosen or not. Breira is the sugya that could be described, I think the best sugya to use is the sugya that we had in Erevin. And that is, an Erev could be made in one area, an Eruv Etchumen, where a person extends his walking rights on Shabbos. We know that there is a Tchum that a person could walk, has to stay in within, because of Al Yetzi Yishmim Komo. He could extend it if he makes his Tchum towards the east. So let's say I want to be going specifically to the eastern side past Ramat Beit Shemesh, I put an Erev on the eastern side. What happens if I don't know if my Rebbe is coming on the eastern side outside of Beit Shemesh or the western side? So the Mishnah tells us that according to some opinions, I can make a Erev on Erev Shabbos on both sides. And then Huvrar Hadavar, retroactively it was chosen when my Rebbe came to the eastern side that I was going to be on the east side and not on the west side. In other words, the facts say that retroactively on Erev Shabbos, because you cannot make an Erev both to the east and to the west, but retroactively we say that the real Erev was the one on the east and not the west. Says the Ram, this machlokus Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whether you're allowed to go into the chatzah, revolves around the following. Ukimnu pluksayu b'yesh brera o ein brera. The Rabbi Elazar savar yesh brera. Rabbi Elazar says that since ultimately the courtyard is going to be divided, in other words, if you have a courtyard of shutvim, so then in such a case, then that courtyard, if it's divided, so then 50% of it is going to be Reuven's. V'hai d'lunav shei, and it turns out that this guy went into his side. V'hai l'dinav shei ka'ayil, and it turns out that Shimon went into his side. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there is no problem. Zeh nichnas l'soich sheloi, v'zeh nichnas l'soich sheloi. What Reuven went into, we'll say retroactively, was his side. And what Shimon went into, we'll say retroactively, is his side. So really, this machlokis between the Tanakhama, which the Gemara referred to as the Shitas HaChachamim, and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, is not a machlokis in regards to Neder. It's a machlokis of whether we say Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Do we say retroactively, the guy walked into Reuven's Allah, walked into Shimon's Rishus, but the part that he's in is in his Rishus, and the part that Shimon is in is his Rishus. That's the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that we say Breira. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim, say we don't say Breira. According to that logic, continues the Mishnah, will go a drop into Mem Vavim and Aleph. Ushneim Asurim Lahamid Rechaim V'Tanur Ulegadol Tarnigolim. According to the above, so then in such a case, Reuven cannot put a oven inside of the Rishus. And the reason for that is that an oven, the halacha is that if both of us are sharing a Rishus, you're allowed to say, I don't want the oven there. So now, I'm overstepping my bounds that are given to me through Breira. Breira says that the area of that I'm enjoying within the Chatzar, as long as I'm not hogging your space, retroactively was mine. But since when it comes to an oven could disturb a person in the other 50%, the smoke and other things, we'll see that in the Gemara. So then in such a case, then even Breira will not allow me to utilize the courtyard for the purpose of an oven or chickens. Wow, chickens. You know, even if my next door neighbor would put chickens into his thing. In fact, we have here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know who, go explain it, but here the schools, it's not uncommon for them, only in the Middle East, for them to have roosters in the school area. I guess kids like to play with roosters in the Middle East. And so sometimes it bothers the neighbors from miles away. You have these roosters wide awake at 4 or 5 in the morning. So that would be problematic, even for the neighbors. Certainly, gadol tarnigolim, chickens inside a shared courtyard could disturb one for the other. It could disturb one person, one of the shutfin, and therefore the halacha is that it cannot be used, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, for chickens. One last point that's necessary for understanding the pshat in our Mishnah that is raised by the Rishonim is the question of the Ran and other Rishonim, and that is, at the end of the day, we could understand the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov more easily than the shita of the Rabbanan. And that is, okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov with Breira, beautiful. Then in such a case, retroactively, he's in his own Rishus, and therefore there's no problem with the fact that Moder Hano. But even if you hold Ein Breira, asks the Ran, so you can't say retroactively, I was in my Rishus, and you were in your Rishus. But at the same time, asks the Ran, both people have rights to go into the Rishus. So then, in such a case, why would it be that the Neder will stop me from going into the Rishus? If at the end of the day, we have a halacha, Ein Adam Oyser Dover Sheina Shelo, so my neder should only take effect on my 50%. You're enjoying your 50%. I'm enjoying my 50% without doing anything retroactively. So how could you say that in such a case, when Reuven goes into a chatzar that he owns, he's not hogging it. He's not kicking Shimon out. If he's not kicking Shimon out, why is he violating the neder that was made? Answers the Ran, and this is a yesod in Shutfis in general, and this is how the interface between Breira in our Mishnah and the sugyas of Shutfin. Now we're going to say a chidush and Shutfin, how they interface. Now we're going to see how they interface, because the Ran, in order to explain the Shita of the Rabbanan, needs to say an important yesod that is going to apply not only in Perek HaShutfin in Nedarim, but also in Perek HaShutfin in the beginning of Bava Basra. And that is that he suggests, when you and I own something, that we have shared ownership of 100% of the property, which is not divisible. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, we're talking about a case of a chatzer that's not divisible. There are courtyards that can be divided, but each of us are sharing every inch of 100%. If each of us are sharing every inch, so then in such a case, the truth is that none of us have what the Ran calls a kinyan haguf. None of us entirely own any particular area. We now have shared rights. If that's so, if each one of us has shared rights of the entire area, so says the Ran, a neder, a konem, is mafkia, a shibud. The right is the shibud. I have a shibud, I have a jurisdiction over this land, shared jurisdiction with you. And the Ran points out that there is a sugi we're going to have later on, a daf pei vav amabez, that says, konamos mafkian midei shibud, that a neder overpowers a shibud. So therefore, since there is a neder against me, that undermines my shibud, and the neder makes that shibud aser to me. And since we have two facts, number one is that a shared shutfis, if it's not a divisible area that will not be divided 50-50, but we share 100%, in such a case, that it cannot be considered a kinyan aguf. I don't own it entirely. So therefore, we have a shir shibud. That could be undermined by a neder. Hence, that fact, combined with the idea of ein breira, is the source of our Mishnah. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Mem Hei in Maseches Nedarim. On our Daf, we summarized and we actually came to a novel understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, that we had originally thought that Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan argued about whether there's a concept of making one's land entirely ownerless. Or that's the opinion of Rabbanan, while Rabbi Yossi, we had always understood, was of the opinion that the land doesn't become ownerless, but rather you give rights for someone else to come and be zoche in the field. The nafgamina was that we had an earlier dapim whether a person could back out, Reuven could back out after he makes it hefker. If you say that it's in limbo until Shimon comes in zoche, so then Rabbi Yossi said you could back out. If that's so, so then we had an extreme machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi, how you look at hefker. On today's daf, we saw that that machlokas is constricted, and actually Rabbi Yossi holds of the full concept of hefker. However, he only says that there's a full concept of hefker when you do it in front of three people as opposed to two, and in our daf, we explain why that's so. Rabbi Shimon Levi suggests that the reason why we have three has nothing to do with the fundamentals of how hefker work, but it's the most expedient way for a person to be able to be zelcha in something from hefker. Reuven makes something hefker in front of three people. If one of the three wants to be zelcha, so then he has got an easy legal process, and that is he's zelcha in the field, he makes a kinyan in the field, and he has the two other people that were edim, who were there at the time of hefker, who will also be edim for him, that he's now zelcha from the hefker. We began on Memhei Mebeis Perek HaShutfin, where we had a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan of the Shutfin Shinadru Zeh Zeh, whether it's permissible to go into the Chatzar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov holds that the reason why it's mutter is we could say Breira, that retroactively the side that I went into is mine, the side that you went into is yours, and it doesn't conflict in our neder. The Chacham hold Ein Breira, plus the Chacham hold, as we explained according to the Ran, that if you have a case of a chotzer where each one of the individuals has a shared shibud on 100%, then a neder will be mafkia mishibud. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Mem Hei in Maseches Nedarim.